Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thanks for joining us. I'm Bob Griswold. I'm going to introduce they're going to introduce themselves.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
Before we start the show, I would like to explain that this show is being recorded a week in advance because of some medical issues on the part of our producer. So if you have additional comments or updates that you want to go to the website, cctaxpayers.com, and post, please do. I'm going to start out with the budget process because we seem to be in the middle of that in Congress.
Actually, both in the state and in the federal government.
Yes.
Neither one can make up their mind.
I want to talk about the congressional budget process. Just FYI, the last time a budget was passed through the regular budget process was the 2007 to 2008 budget. Since then, we have been operating on continuing resolutions. We have had threatened shutdowns, we have omnibus bills, we've had a mess. And one of the conditions that when Kevin McCarthy became speaker, one of the things that the conservative Republicans in the House made him agree to was to get back to the normal budget process, which is separate appropriation bills for each part of the government. Obviously, since we're now dealing with an omnibus bill, that didn't happen. Where do we go from here, and what do we do now? I frankly don't object to the idea of shutting the government down till they get their act together, but that may be a little bit extreme.
A quick quote from Stephen Moore again was, "What's worse, when a politician shuts down the government or when they lock down businesses, stores, schools, churches, and restaurants, and nearly all private commerce in America? Which is worse?" Do we have any penalty if the Federal Trade Commission personnel can't get to work because they're shut out?
Well, first of all, not everything gets shut out. They do keep services as far as the military intact. And every time they seem to have a threat or a shutdown, the wages of some of the non-critical employees may be held back, but I don't believe that there's ever been a case that they hadn't been paid retroactively for.
Yeah, what has happened in the past is they've had not to go to work for a week or 2 weeks or whatever it was, and then they got paid for staying home. I mean, there is no penalty to the government for shutting down. The penalty is to the American taxpayer who has to foot the bill.
But they always make it sound like fear. You're not going to get your Social Security check. You're not going to get your Medicare payment. You're not going to get your food stamps.
I mean, well, if we shut down the government, the first thing they should shut down would be the border.
Amen.
Well, I think Congress should not be paid until they negotiate a settlement.
I agree.
The first thing that should go would be the congressional salaries. Guys, you're not going to get paid till you work this out.
You know, if we wanted to localize this, and we've all heard this before, when school budgets come up, the first thing they threaten to do is to cut art and music. We have to cut art and music. Blah, 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 blah. Those are the first things they have to threaten us with. Now, here, the government, as Kim, you said, Kim, they're going to threaten us with cutting Social Security, with our health benefits or whatever else.
Well, you know, they're obviously not serious about the budget at all. There's been no effort on the part of people in Congress or in the House or the Senate to actually do anything about it. And, you know, I don't know what you folks think about this convention of states, but I understand the two elements for the convention of states was term limits, and I think the other one had to do
with a balanced budget.
So, and you know, North Carolina, the state, they have a balanced budget requirement. They must meet that every 2 years when they do the budget. So, there are some restrictions, but the federal government, it's just a bunch of play acting. and so on. But they're not serious about it.
And they print play money, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the federal government is spending money that they shouldn't be spending anyway. If you look at the Constitution and what they're supposed to spend money on versus what they do spend money on, I think if we went back to our founding documents and followed those, we'd save a whole lot of money.
It's interesting, too. Our founding fathers, we're doing a 5,000-year leap course right now on Saturday mornings, and our founding fathers were against foreign alliances. How much money has Ukraine cost us? I mean, right there, you've got billions, and to the point where people who survived the Hawaiian fire got $700, while Ukraine gets billions. That's crazy.
And Ukraine gets billions, and we've got all the illegal immigrants getting five-star treatment in New York, and we've got homeless people of our own that we don't take care of.
That's true.
And in New York, apparently, they're throwing New York City children out of school to make room for illegal alien children.
Well, what we basically have is compared to an individual who would be given a credit card with no limits. You never have to pay it off. The balance can be whatever you want it to be. And I guess they're required to pay the accumulated interest on the debt. I guess that's the only thing that's being paid. But there's no effort to pay it down.
You know, I think, Alan, this may sound a little strange, but when our daughters first went off to school, and I think especially one of our daughters, the first thing she did was max out her credit card. And then she learned, oh, I have to pay that off. And she got very, very wise. And she quickly learned how to pay it off. She worked very, very hard to pay it off herself and quickly learned how to budget her spending and stuff like that. And that was a tough lesson, but you have to do that.
Well, unfortunately, every democracy fails because the people in power stay in power by continuing to give things to people from the public coffers. And that's what's happening. And there's no reason for them to stop. And every time you turn around, there's another, you know, requirement or another thing they come up with that, well, we need this, we need that, but in reality, we don't need it, these things. It's like the school system. I was reading the other day that the percentage of administrators in the school system has gone up dramatically compared to the percentage of teachers. So the percentage of teachers gone up, I think, in the last 20 years, like about 7%, which is probably keeping up with the increased population. But with the administrators, it's up like 60, 65%.
And the administrators are the first to complain that there's not enough teachers in the classroom.
I want to go back to what you commented about North Carolina having a requirement for a balanced budget. A lot of states have that requirement. And as far as the convention of states, I know that people in the CCTA are very mixed. Some people support that, some people don't. And the requirement, putting a requirement on the federal government for a balanced budget, I'm afraid would just give them an excuse to raise taxes to a ridiculous level because they're not in the habit of cutting spending. They're just not. And I think they would see the solution to a balanced budget is killing us with taxes.
Well,
that's just an observation.
It might happen, but if you remember what happened to George Bush Sr., he made that pledge, read my lips, no new taxes.
And then
and then he started increasing the taxes, and that's one of the reasons he didn't get reelected. I mean, there's other things going on also, but that was, I think, one of the things that really hurt him. So politicians are wary about raising taxes, you know, unless they can slide it, hide it, where you don't know what's being raised. And all of
The education for me in that whole thing was that he made a deal with the Democrats and they were only going to tax the rich, et cetera, et cetera. Well, what he didn't understand when he taxed the rich, it was a luxury tax on high-end boats and diamond rings and mink coats and stuff like that. he put a lot of people out of work who were building high-end boats and making diamond rings and making fur coats. And the it was a trickle-down recession. As they lost their jobs, they went on vacation less, they went out to dinner less, and in a service economy, we went into a recession, a rather strong recession. Now, we were coming out of it as the election happened, but he didn't get credit for bringing us out of it.
Now, well, that's the leftist communist approach all the time, is attack, attack the rich capitalists, you know, and that's part of the same. And you hear it all the time, but Democrats, you know, Biden talks about his tax plan. We're going to increase the taxes on the rich. And or like the corporations, let's go after the corporations, as though the corporations ever paid money for taxes. They just increased the cost of their products.
I don't know any poor politicians.
Well, not only that, the other part of that is if you look at the statistics on who actually pays the taxes, the top 3% pay like 45-50% of all the taxes paid. If we really want to make the tax code fair, we need to start taxing welfare payments. And I realize that would not be popular, but that's the only way to bring it down.
And my other suggestion would be the first thing to do would be remove all kinds of retirement benefits for politicians.
Amen.
Just you get paid by the hour and that's it. And
take the money out of going into politics, and while you're at it, ban insider trading, which is a whole nother discussion.
And lobbyists.
And lobbyists, yes.
Well, now, wait a minute. What about grassroots lobbyists? What about when CCTA goes up to Raleigh?
I'm talking about paid lobbyists.
And remove foreign lobbyists. Folks, I'm going to interrupt and say we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Thank you for listening.
Yes.
Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back, and I'm going to pass it over to Glenn.
Well, we were just talking about lobbyists, and we talked about the potential. Well, folks from CCTA could be viewed as lobbyists, but we go up, share our feelings and our thoughts with the legislators. Professional lobbyists go and speak, but they also have money to spread around in the campaign finance area. So it's a much grassroots lobbying is much different than professional lobbying.
Well, when we go
up, the people.
When we the people go up, we generally have one or two issues that we're talking about. And quite frankly, they know they're not going to get any money from us. We're a 501c3. We're not allowed to make political donations. We're not allowed to support candidates, although most of us work for candidates as individuals. We are allowed to support issues. And many of us were up during the up in Raleigh during the debate on abortion. We were there for the debate on Common Core.
On marijuana.
And marijuana, that's right. So we do attempt to represent the conservative voters. We just are not doing it in a way that involves money or using money to influence.
Well, that goes back to the lobbyists we were talking about several weeks ago for the last 2 weeks on the gambling in the casinos in North Carolina. And I left a couple things down the rabbit hole that I looked up to find out the answers to. One of them was who was behind or who was interested in developing these casinos. And this ties directly into what we were just saying. The company that has been giving most of the money to our House members and our senators is the Cordish Company. That's the name of the company when we said who was looking at developing. Mm-hmm. And this Cordish Company has hired many lobbyists at the General Assembly. And among those lobbyists is Tony Copeland, who used to be Governor Cooper's Secretary of Commerce, and Tracy Kimball, who used to be Senator Berger's general counsel. So you take the people that worked directly for the legislators, put them in lobbying posts where they're collecting money, but they're also peddling their influence. So these people are connected. The article that I got this information from is called the Carolina Public Press. And they contacted every single one of our representatives that got money. And they asked for comments on the money. And the only one that commented that would comment was Jason Sain's office. And his comment was, he's not interested in commenting. So that was the first rabbit hole. And then, since we're talking about casinos, can I go on and talk
please
about
do, please
okay.
do.
Well, one of the things we talked about was where the money goes from the casinos, and there was a little bit of information about the actual tribal members receiving money. And I tried to find what it was in 2022, but I couldn't find that. But as of 2021, the per capita tribal member pay was $8,840 before taxes. And that was for a time period of April through September. So I'm assuming that that is a semi-annual disbursement. Yeah. And then the last one was the Lumbee Tribe. If they get a casino, were the lands tribal or public land? And as far as I could find, it would be their land. It wouldn't be commercial property. It would be Lumbee Indian tribes. And then as of yesterday's news, that would have been September the 12th, since we are recording this early. The budget is still not met. The House and the Senate are still arguing about whether the gambling provisions are going to be in it. And Speaker Moore and Mr. Berger are at odds very much with what's going on. And Senator Berger says that Tim Moore and the House haven't lived up to the commitments that they made to the Senate, and you need to stick to the deal that we made. And Moore says, we didn't make a deal, there's no deal. But Moore confirmed that there are 30 House members, 30 of the 72, that will not vote in favor of it as long as there's gambling provisions. One of the things I didn't realize was that it's not just casino gambling, it's video machines. And I didn't realize that. So that would put it statewide.
Mm-hmm. Not I would just put it in every community. So if we think about people having more access to gambling, then we said last time, I think it was people within 30, 40 miles of the casinos are by and large their clientele. And that group, let's face it, they don't win all the time. We talked about that in one of the last meetings or shows. So people that gamble, 90% of them lose. So now if you put one in every local store in the state, everybody gets an opportunity to go and lose their money and subsidize our state tax system, which is what Berger's goal is to reduce that to nothing and have it supported by gambling. But it's just crazy.
That's the hamster on the exercise wheel, because as they're losing money, they're having to get into the safety net, which is going to cost the state more money. It's a circle. It's a vicious cycle.
Well, this game continues because Senator Berger says that the budget is a series of compromises, and if this can't be worked out, then we're going to go back to the drawing board. So it makes it sound like there's other leverage and other pressure being used. Like, if you guys don't capitulate and do what we want to do, we're going to go back to the drawing board. And Governor Cooper, he's in a position that gives him a lot of leverage as well.
Well, isn't part of the discussion right now about Medicaid expansion that...
Right, that expansion can't occur until the budget is set. It was supposed to start July 1st, the Medicaid expansion. So, yeah, and then any new spending plan has to pass the House and the Senate before it goes to Cooper. And so basically, gambling is holding up the state budget.
Is there a limit as to the time when they have to pass the state budget?
No, what happens is if they don't pass one, you default back to
You go back to the previous year. That's right. I remember that.
Going back and chasing another rabbit hole that you talked about with bringing gambling to all different various stores. Actually, we heard some comments, I think as recently as yesterday or whatever else, that the vape shops, many vape shops have been having gambling machines in them. And that I guess the law enforcement is saying, nope. You don't. It's gone. So this would then allow those vape shops to have the gambling.
Mm-hmm. Well, we started down this years ago with the lottery.
Yeah.
What's the difference between gambling and doing a lottery?
The lottery is
originally justified in order to raise funds for the schools. Now, a lot of the money goes to other purposes, is my understanding. So it may very well be this is just the next step. It's just like marijuana. You started with medical marijuana, then you have recreational marijuana, and then you're using that as a funding source, you're taxing it, and what you're doing is allowing the principles and the standards of your society deteriorate, and you're capitalizing on people's on their kinds of behavior that we shouldn't be encouraging. We should be discouraging, and now we're using it as a funding source, because it's like sports gambling. Have they passed the sports gambling?
Yes, they did pass that.
That's already passed. I thought so. So what? You know, if you start sport, if you can gamble on a football game, so why not gamble on something else? I mean, it's already cat's already out of the bag.
You know, if you go back to, I'm going way back, roll back to the 50s or whatever else, when they were with paramutual betting at a racetrack or whatever else,
right,
where they calculated the odds and then they paid back based on the odds and the winners and whatever else. But they paid back a great percentage, and the state took their skim off the top. Now,
you had to be on site. In other words, you had to go to the racetrack. Now, what was using is the mobs would have their own who would collect the money, and they would go place the bet, and then they would pay them off, and they had numbers.
And the state never got a cut from that.
No.
Think about the corruption that goes along with this, though, because this is not new money like we talked about last week. This is money that is used in place of, not in addition to.
Sure.
So you're taking money from a general account and you're putting lottery money into the education account. So then you've got that money in the general fund to put to somebody else's sweetheart deal, the bridge to nowhere. And here again, I think that's where all politics has gone, gotten so corrupt. It's the money.
Yep.
The people that are in power need to stay in power. They need to raise the money. Going to go to the companies that are going to give you the big donations, and then they've got your ear. And I really, my best friend is a lobbyist, and she and I argue about this a lot. I told her that if I call my senator with my $25 donation, he's not going to take my call. However, if you walk in with your $5,600 contribution, he's going to listen to you. So who is he representing? The constituents of Glenn's favorite term, we the people, or the big business, the pharmaceuticals, the industry? Who are you representing? I think the out-of-state money has a big thing, and our own Supreme Court did that to us in 2010.
I think the best bumper sticker I ever saw was the lottery, a tax on people who are bad at math.
Oh, that's
funny. Well, you know, one of the other items, when they talk about the lottery and the payback, the parimutuel payback on the lottery, the biggest thing that we saw in historically was how much money went from the revenue of the lottery, how much money went to paying off advertising for the lottery. The return to the state was a certain amount. The return to the advertisers, to the manufacturing of advertising that enticed you to go and do whatever.
And else. Making the tickets and making the machines.
And the administration.
The administration. Again, folks, we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back. We're not sure which war we're coming back into.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back again. thanks for listening to our supporters and our sponsors. And I'm going to turn it over to Mary.
I want to get back to our discussion of taxes, both in North Carolina and nationally. But before I do that, I want to bring up a Elon Musk quote that says, "What did you get done this week?" And this was an article out of The Federalist. And they made the comment, every Republican in Congress should have to answer that question to the American taxpayer before even thinking about giving another cent to Ukraine, the Pentagon, the DOJ, Health and Human Services, and every other department that is at best useless and at worst packed with paper pushers overly harassing the people who pay their outsized salaries. So that's my opening shot. And then I want to go into a discussion. We're having a discussion now in North Carolina because we want to lower the amount of the state income tax. And the House of Representatives in North Carolina has lowered our state income tax. They have a logical plan that they are trying to do this with by growing businesses, by changing some of the things we tax. They have successfully in recent years lowered that tax. And it looks like the Senate is just looking for a quick fix. Now, one of the things that we've talked about is the states that don't have income tax. And Alan, I want you to go through some of your comments on that.
Yes, thanks, Mary. I have a son-in-law that he and my daughter and family have been living in Florida. Florida is a state that has no state income tax, okay? Now, they get their money from other sources, but it's the state income tax. And as a person who's still working, he's very concerned about that. So they're considering moving to other places, but the only places they're considering or other states are states that have no income tax, like Tennessee, Texas. There's several others that have no income tax. So that's easy. So it may very well be that perhaps Berger, the head of the Senate, is looking at maybe attracting businesses or maybe corporations. Maybe it's more attractive to states that don't have a state income tax. I don't know the data on that, but there might be some reasons why he wants the state to remain competitive for these corporations and industries. And so the goal might be great. Now, going about it by funding it with gambling is highly questionable. You know, you can come up with all kinds of vice-ridden things. Why not just have illegal drugs and make them legal? I shouldn't say that too loud. Some of the politicians may pick that up.
But let's talk about what happens in a state like Tennessee where there is no income tax.
Well, they have to, obviously the state government has to have a certain amount of revenue to operate. So if they don't get it one way, they get it another way. And in Tennessee, compared to North Carolina, their sales tax is higher. Their sales tax in Tennessee is 7%, plus each county has their own sales tax, which is about 2%. So you pay about 9% more in Tennessee.
On every purchase.
On every purchase. Mm-hmm. For example, I was in Tennessee about 2 weeks ago for a fiddler's convention. Not that I'm a fiddler, but I wanted to listen to them fiddle. And we stopped by and bought some items in the grocery store, and they were substantially higher than I've in North Carolina. This was right across the state line. And I asked, that's when I inquired about why the difference in the prices. And she told me, the lady behind the counter, well, our, sales tax is 7%, and our county adds 2%. So they have to get it somewhere or another. But the advantage of a sales tax is that everybody has to pay it. And as you mentioned at the break, Bob, even people who get money illicitly or these people coming over the border who are taking jobs away from citizens, which a lot of them are, when they buy something, they're paying in. Otherwise, they'd be getting away scot-free. There's nobody taxing their income because their income's probably not even being reported.
Yeah.
Now, do you think a sales tax would be easier to track. In other words, we have the IRS, which is a ridiculous bureaucracy. If we move to strictly a use tax, which is what a sales tax is, would we be able to get rid of the IRS?
So far, we've just been talking about state level. We haven't even had discussion. But I think flat tax, I think use tax would be very challenging at the federal level. But you can sure have a flat tax.
You know, having worked with companies that we had to deal with VAT taxes, which was the value-added tax at each level of production, right. that you bought some materials or whatever else and turned it into something else. Well, the value-added tax on the materials that you bought is subtracted from the value of what you sold to the next level of manufacturing or production. You know, it's funny, as you mentioned, the industry of gambling, the product of gambling is always a loss. Always.
Well, another thing that counties and states do is they hide the taxes. For instance, if you go to a hotel, you pay an occupancy tax, or you have to pay for parking, or you have another tax at a restaurant if you eat in versus if you take out. So there's a lot of ways that the communities build, they hide the fees that you're mm-hmm. that you're paying. In North Carolina, we also pay property tax on things like your trailer that you haul lumber in. And you pay property tax, not just on your car, but
your ski-doo, yeah.
On your boat or whatever. So, like I know in Ohio, they don't pay a property tax on a boat, but they pay property tax on their houses.
Massachusetts didn't pay. You didn't pay sales tax on clothing. I mean, so there were exceptions.
It's interesting. You mentioned in Ohio that you don't pay sales tax on a boat. I wonder what the number of boats in Ohio is versus the number of boats in North Carolina.
It
might not be worth the paperwork.
Right.
It might not. And I remember the controversy that happened in New England because John Kerry had this beautiful yacht and he docked it in Rhode Island because the tax on the yacht in Rhode Island was considerably less than the tax in Massachusetts.
Do you remember the name of that boat?
No.
Monkey Business.
Oh, wow.
Sounds like John Kerry, doesn't it?
Does sound like John Kerry.
You know, historically, this discussion has to do with progressive versus regressive tax systems. And the regressive are tax systems that supposedly hurt the lower income people, poor people, more than we're progressives, whatever that, you know, that's implied that that's the tax the rich, the people who, you know, at the income tax rate goes up as your salary goes up. And even benefits, like there was this discussion about the school, these scholarships they were giving.
The opportunity
scholarships. And if you made above a certain amount, you didn't qualify. Only people who qualify were people below the federal poverty level. So who gets the shaft? It's the middle income people as you work up. And it's a disincentive to do better. Because if you do better, then you lose benefits. So you have to pay a higher percentage of taxes. And so it's a it sounds like a good idea, but it discourages people from working hard and advancing themselves.
Ask anyone who had to do the financial aid forms as a child went off to college.
FAFSA.
If you had spent all of your money in a gambling casino and wild living styles and had nothing in the bank, you got plenty of scholarships or grants offered to you.
Yeah.
If you were wise and saved money and whatever else, sorry, folks, you get nothing.
There is a concept called the Laffer Curve. Now, the Laffer Curve was created in 1974. And basically, it shows the relationship between tax rates and tax revenue. And as the tax rate goes up, it reaches a certain point where the revenues go down, because the people who, the higher income people who are being hit by these high tax rates, generally have tax accountants and lawyers who tell them how to shelter their money. And what happens is you can raise the taxes so much, and then your revenue goes down, because first of all, you disincentivize achievement. You make it, it's not worth, if I know that if I make $100,000, my tax rate is going to double, I'm going to stop working when I hit $99,000.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know I will actually get to keep more of my money. Yeah. And it has to do with human nature. We're not stupid.
Well, in some things that the government does, they penalize you. For instance, you're paying Social Security the entire time that you're working. Well, you pay into Social Security. Now they call it a benefit. It's not a benefit. You worked for that. That was your money.
And it was your
money. Then you have to pay taxes on it when you get it again. So how many times are we being taxed on the same money?
On the same dollar, yes.
Not only that, but what happens to the people who start paying into Social Security when they're 17 and they drop dead at age 60? That money goes to the government. It doesn't go to their family. They have gained nothing by doing that.
You know, we had some old savings bonds, and that actually were bought back in the 70s. And when we cashed them in, we looked at the value of the savings bond back then versus inflation versus the income from that savings bond. We were lose-lose situation.
We lost money and had to pay taxes on it.
I'm going off to another break. Thanks for staying with us.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols. Buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Welcome back, and thank you again for staying with us. Mary?
I want to talk about the way the press reports things. All of us are aware that the media tends to skew things. Many of us have been smart enough to go to alternative media. One America News is doing well. Newsmax is doing well. Fox News' ratings are in the toilet, as are CNN's and CNBC and the whole thing. Well, there was an article recently posted at Town Hall, townhall.com. Now that Kevin McCarthy has officially launched an impeachment inquiry into President Biden and his business partners and Hunter and the whole thing. If you remember when the campaign for president was going on, President Biden said he never spoke to his Hunter about any deals. The fact that they were on airplanes together for hours and the whole thing, they never discussed it. Okay. Then a few months ago, the White House press secretary, Ms. Jean-Pierre, said that Biden was never in business with his son. Well, seems that we have some problems with that one too. So the newest one is Democrat Dan Goldman says there's no direct evidence that President Biden was involved in any way in Hunter's business dealings. Now, notice he didn't say no evidence. He said no direct evidence. And there was a tweet by Miranda Devine, who has followed the laptop from the beginning. And she made the comment, there might not be a check signed by a Ukrainian oligarch, but we know that President Biden was definitely in business with his son, and we have call emails, calls, texts, voicemails, photos, visitor logs, and testimony from whistleblowers that all indicate otherwise. So as we go through this impeachment thing, there are a few things that, if you want to start a bingo card, this is the time to do it. One thing on your bingo card will be, this is political. Another thing on your bingo card is, there's no direct evidence. Another thing on your bingo card was, he really wasn't in business with his son. Another thing on your bingo card was, Hunter has still not said that the laptop was his. Another thing on your bingo card might be, well, the pictures on the laptop don't really mean anything.
What about the one where he will say, well, I don't recall. But you know what? He really won't.
This is true.
Can't recall.
Well, I think it's really just a rehash of, I think Hillary said, I
can't remember.
I just can't remember.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to.
Yes.
I don't know. How do you guys feel about impeaching Biden?
Go for it. My concern is they're impeaching him for what they appear to be. Well, they haven't decided to impeach him yet, but they're going down this issue having to do with the money and the graft and the selling influence, which is all well and good. And I think that they should be doing it. But they also should be impeaching him on the border, for the border. The reason being that he took an oath to support and enforce the laws of this country, and he hasn't been doing it. So if you're a president and you're not enforcing the laws by maintaining fidelity to your oath, that appears to me to be a very clear impeachable offense. But I don't hear any talk about that element. So I'm all in favor of it, but I think that there are probably more than one thing that they could impeach him for.
You know, we're also hearing of these, quote, indictments in Georgia or whatever else of Trump on these RICO things, racketeering and influence.
Right.
And you look at the number of bank accounts that the Biden family members have, and that is all falling under RICO, and we don't have either an attorney general or anybody like that has the cojones to step up and do what they're supposed to do.
Kim, your views on impeachment?
Well, I have mixed feelings on it because I think it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of money, and it'll never happen in the Senate. However, my husband informs me that there's a lot of avenues of other information that can come out that we wouldn't be able to get if it weren't for the impeachment.
That's true.
So the subpoena.
So if you go through the process, you get more information. I think people are paying a little more attention. I mean, not just conservatives, but I do think people are paying more attention to what's going on. It's starting to get some traction. And some of this stuff's going to have to hit the mainstream media at some point.
The White House has already put out a memo to the mainstream media instructing them how to cover impeachment.
Yeah, which shows that they're afraid of it. Which shows that they are concerned. And I heard there was like 60% of the people in the country already believe that there are shenanigans and things going on with the Biden family. So it's already, just like you said, Glenn, it's getting out there. And even if they're unsuccessful in getting a conviction by the Senate, there's going to be so much information out there that people are going to be able to look at it and say, we can't vote for this guy.
But I worry about that, too, because then we're stuck with Kamala. And there's a lot of talk about her qualifications or lack thereof. And then you wonder what other candidates there could possibly be for the Democratic Party. And you come up with Gavin Newsom, who is saying no, but you always say no until you say yes. My fear is Michelle Obama.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's I'm going to paraphrase an old quote that says, people will forgive you for being wrong, but people will never forgive you for proving them wrong. So now we're coming up with this impeachment thing. If we're proving people that they were blind, ignorant, whatever else, they're not going to forgive you, even if it is the truth. I mean, that sounds harsh.
Well, the only thing, though, Bob, it may very well be that people can psychologically adjust to that by saying, well, we didn't know these facts when we voted for him the first time. Now that we know these things, now that they're being revealed, and we know that the federal government's been protecting the Biden family for years, now it's a different story. Now we feel like we can change our position and not betray ourselves because we didn't have all the facts before.
I would like to know what Hunter Biden does for a living.
He paints.
Recently, the news pointed out that Hunter Biden rents a small place in Malibu, California, for $15,800 a month.
And pleads poverty.
Yes. I don't know what you do for a living to make $15,000 a month. I mean, that seems... I mean, he's not, it's not like he's
not
a rock star.
That's not a high rent for California.
No, but what do you do to afford that?
Oh, well, sell your paintings for $500,000 a piece. That's what he's been doing.
It's called money laundering.
I was doing some artwork up in the mountains just to kind of pass the time and this summer, and doing some landscapes. And so what I did was I put HB on the bottom of each one for Hunter Biden. So I'm hoping that I can pass these off.
Funny.
I'm hoping I can pass these off as Hunter Biden things and make a few hundred thousand.
Well, his paintings are not necessarily... You look, if you've seen his paintings, you can't really tell what they are.
They're very abstract.
So it may
That's
be
one.
That
mine
your,
are like that too.
It may be that your landscape painting was too accurate of the landscape,
probably,
and it probably won't work. But seriously, look at the houses that Joe Biden owns, that he's owned on government salary for his whole life. He's never had a real job.
But not just him. I would say that is.
Many politicians.
Yes.
But this is where the bank records are so critical. For example.
Yes.
Now, Joe Biden's got several houses, okay? Now, all of a sudden, I don't know when he got them. But if they can link when those houses were purchased, possibly with cash, who knows? I don't know how he did it. But with the payments, if they can track down to when these payments were made, then they have more facts to be able to show that there was this, not only was the payoff, but he was using it without reporting it. Because this information, I assume, you're supposed to report income, and so he's paying. You know, they went after Trump with all his taxes, and they got all his tax returns. I haven't heard a thing about his tax returns, have you?
No.
After
no.
they got him, I haven't heard one thing about it.
No, he was smart enough to get lawyers who did it right. But look, we talk about who the people that are in Congress are representing. And I'm going to pick on Joe Manchin for a minute. Joe Manchin supposedly represents West Virginia. When he's in Washington, he stays aboard his $800,000 yacht, and he drives a Maserati. Somehow, I don't think that is representative of the people in West Virginia. And I'm sure he's not the only one.
Well, the insider trading and all of that kind of thing, the regulations that get passed that the people in power know are coming down the pike, how many people do they tell, hey, you better buy such and such energy or invest in lithium because we're going to push electric cars?
And you know, if you make a good profit off of that, can you make a campaign donation to me after
That's
the
right.
fact? Oh, yes. Well, so maybe I'm getting the money secondhand. You know,
and Martha Stewart went to jail for insider trading. And what she did is nothing compared to what goes on in Congress every day.
They all become multimillionaires.
In both parties.
Yes.
That's right.
And that's why the people in power will never vote for like term limits.
Right.
Because that's what they use. The longer they're in office, the more influence they get. You know, it's kind of like trying to get the fox to guard the chicken head.
Chicken coop.
I mean, it's not going to happen.
That's exactly what's going on.
Who investigates the investigators?
Nobody, unfortunately.
One, just want to make one comment about, we were talking earlier about lobbyists and how they influence the our elected officials. We need to come up with mechanisms, we meaning the voters, that actually force or let these elected officials know exactly what we want, be it school boards, be it state representatives, be it federal people, let them know what we want and get that back to the voters, because ultimately it's votes that gets them in, not money.
That's right. It's the people. It's the votes.
If you trust the election integrity of
that's a whole other show.
Okay, well that's all that we've got for right now. And thanks for staying with us. This is a CCTA wake up call. Thank you.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. J. Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.